We are approaching this. We're in the last 2 weeks of our series, Celebrating Service. Celebrating what God is doing through each one of you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ. And we want to continue that today. We want to recognize those of you who serve our children. Those of you who faithfully invest in our children and in the kingdom of God through serving them, through teaching them, through helping them. We want to thank you guys. And so today, we're going to ask you guys, just like we've been doing, those of you, all of you that serve in children's ministry in any capacity, I'm going to try to name all the different ways that people can serve in the children's ministry, but I want to ask you to stand this morning, okay? When I call your, ministry area in regards to children's ministry, I want to ask you to stand. You know, when we think about loving and investing in our children here at Northwest Chinese Baptist Church, there's so many different ways to serve a child, right? From changing diapers, to preparing snacks, to unpacking and teaching the Word of God. Again, I want to say thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for how you give, how you sacrifice, how you invest in our children and in God's kingdom. And so, just briefly, I want to ask you guys, when I call this group of people, if you're involved in this area in any way, please stand up. Starting with nursery workers, if you have served in the nursery, please stand up. And I know this isn't everybody, but yes. Thank you. Caring for our infants and babies. Thank you. Preschool workers. Please stand up. Okay, there's a big group. Anyone that's involved in teaching or helping with first through sixth grade, please stand up. All right. How about those that lead children's church? Children's church. Anyone? I mean, it's all of you. It's everybody. People in the back. Okay? And like I said, there's so many different ways you all, as the body of Christ, minister to the children here. There's one more way that I have here listed. Children's musical. Those of you that help serve the children through helping with musicals. Come on, Larry. Linda. Not here. Okay. You guys are supposed to stand up. Okay. All right. Thank you. When we see our children here, I'm so glad that they're here worshiping with us right now. Oh, what a privilege and a blessing it is to worship together as a family. And I do want to call two people up here. First of all, they can come together. Hazia, please, is she in here? Hazia, please come up here. And Pastor Terry, please stand with your lovely wife. You can come up here, you stand here. Yeah, you can stand together. You don't have to. Hazia, we want to just say thank you for all the faithful years of service that you have poured into this church, this body, this family, and especially the children here at Northwest. There's no words that we could say to fully show our appreciation, but today we just want to take a moment to say thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your faithfulness to our Lord. And Pastor Terry, this was not planned, but we also want to thank you. Thank you for being our pastor. Thank you for your leadership, your humble service. And together, your family, we thank God for your family. And dear church, I want to ask you, we're going to do something a little different. Jared, if you could switch to this next slide. Larry, I'm going to need your help here. But we're going to stand together. And we're going to sing this song. It may be new to some of you, but it's very old. Okay? We're going to sing it. We're going to sing it thanking our Lord for our pastor and Hasia. And just do your best, dear church. Please stand up. Youth, stand up. We're going to sing this song. Okay? It's called We Love You With the Love of the Lord. We're thanking God for Pastor Terry and Hasia. A cappella.
All right, guys. I mean, the faith is don't the noise of the Lord. Will you sing well or not? Sing it.
Okay? We'll sing it twice.
Sing it twice. And we love
you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of our Lord. We can see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. One more time. Love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, we love you with the love of the Lord. We can see in you the glory of our King, and we love you with the love of the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Thanks, Larry. I didn't ask Larry. I voluntold Larry. Yeah. Thank you for being so gracious and helping. A couple of months ago, my wife Debbie and I, we were talking with our son's second grade teacher. And the teacher shared with us, the teacher was asking all the students, second graders, to think about this question. Okay, and, before I share this story, I want to again pray, and I want to let our children be dismissed, okay? So that they don't have to sit through this 2-hour sermon, okay? But let's pray, and we'll allow our children to go. God, thank you again for this beautiful morning. Thank you that we can gather together and worship as a family, as the body of Christ. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the hope and the joy that we have only in Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that for a special blessing to be upon all of those dear, faithful brothers and sisters that serve, that use and utilize the gifts and the talents and abilities that you've given us, God. You've given them to bless our children, your children, to bless and to further your kingdom. God, we ask that you would help us today to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we just want to give you thanks. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it's all yours. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, please follow your teachers. Oh, we do have... Sorry, yes, Laura, you have to stay here. I do want to ask, while the children are exiting, I do want to ask two dear sisters to come up. Lori Leong and Judy Wong. Please come up here. They're going to share with us briefly of how God has blessed them through serving as part of our children's ministry. So Lori, I'll ask you to go first, and Judy.
Hi, good morning. Steve asked me to come up here and share how I've been blessed by the children's ministry. And when he gave me that question, I thought, wow, how long have I been doing this? And then I thought about my daughter, and she had just moved on from preschool to the next class up. She's almost 18, so it's close to 14 years that I've been doing this. It's hard to believe. It's crazy. But my time has just been great, just watching the kids just mature and grow and just watch them. But I started off as a helper, an innocent little helper, putting their meals together, putting their snacks together, and just wiping their noses like I was doing in the pews and getting distracted, not really singing and listening to anything. I'm sorry. But just wiping their noses and comforting them and putting that psychological Band-Aid on them. But that started out as a helper. Terry Armada helped me get started. Haja helped me get started. And slowly, they asked me, it's like, we need some teachers. Do you want to teach? And I was like, no, I don't want to teach. So Terry's like, didn't take no for an answer. And she's like, why don't you watch me do it? And I watched her do it. And I go, I could do that. So I learned to do that. And then slowly graduated to not just teaching the 3- and 4-year-olds, but also I'm also teaching the 5th- and 6th graders. Another strong personality came up to me and asked me if I wanted to do this, Miss Haja Wong. So I couldn't say no to her, but to me it was an answer to prayer, right? I was able to answer to God and say, yes, I can do this for you. And it's just been a blessing all the way through. For the preschoolers, I've been blessed with their humor, with their laughter, and with their presence. The preschoolers, if you've never been in the class, they're very innocent, they're unassuming, they're naive, they're unafraid. They unintentionally make me laugh. They don't know they make me laugh, but they unintentionally tell you things that you shouldn't be hearing outside the home. And you don't ask them to find out. They just tell you, right? It's like, because they're so honest and they don't know. They'll tell it on their friends. They'll tell it on their families. They'll tell it on their brothers because they're the good one. They never do any wrong, right? But it's just very adorable when I get to witness all of that. When I'm teaching them, I look at their faces, and sometimes you can't tell whether they are really getting the message. Because you look in their eyes, you look at their faces, they're playing, they're laughing, they're joking, and, you know, they're not really listening to the message. And it's not until, you know, weeks later after they leave my classroom, something comes right back up to me. It's like, oh, yeah, they learned that in my class. And I thought, wow, just to have a hand in their spiritual growth is quite the blessing that I can't even give words to. So in addition, again, to teaching the preschoolers, I am in a unique position to also teach the 5th- and 6th graders. So I just recently started teaching the 5th- and 6th graders, but in the short time that I've taught them, I've been getting the kids that I taught in preschool now in 5th- and 6th grade. So it's interesting to see their growth and what they've learned. Thank you, Judy Wong and Betty, right? What they've learned in that time, right, and how they've matured. But then their questions, when I teach them, their questions are different. Their questions are deeper, right? They're more intriguing. And I go, wow, you guys asked some really good questions. Let me go home and study this first, right? So in that regard, it's blessed me because I've been given that opportunity to teach them, and I've been given the opportunity to increase my Bible acumen. All in all, whichever class I am in, it is a blessing to influence the young, to make a difference, to be part of their spiritual growth, and to do God's work and be of service to Him. Thank you. Sorry.
Thanks, Sherry. All right, Judy, please come.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, when Pastor Steve asked me this question of, you know, say how you were blessed by the children's ministry, and all I can think of was, I was a child once, and I was blessed growing up. In a way, you could say that I was raised by two families, my biological family, my parents and my brother, and my church family. So I've been going to church since I was a little girl. My parents were busy working at the grocery store, as is many families back in those days, and they were unable to take us to church. We were fortunate enough to have members of the church that came out and reached out to a lot of the families in the grocery stores. And so through that, we were able to have a beloved pastor, Brother Stanley. Because of his love and dedication for the Lord, he would pull up in front of our store, as well as a bunch of other grocery stores, and pick us up in a bus. And when he pulled up, it was in our parking lot, so it was quite evident that somebody was being picked up, and it was like a yellow school bus. And he would honk the horn with that familiar sound, and we knew that he was there to pick us up. So it was fun to be picked up in the bus and to go to all the other stores and see other kids be picked up on the bus. Sunday school was part of my life growing up, and I truly appreciated those who made the commitment to teach Sunday school. One of those teachers was Mrs. Wong, Professor Wong's wife. She taught about Jesus and how he loved us so much that he died for us. Through all the lessons learned through her and all the other Sunday school teachers that I've had in my life, at the age of 10, I accepted Christ into my life, a decision that I am forever grateful for transforming my life. It is through the dedication of all the Sunday school teachers and church members who have encouraged me through the years and brought me to where I am today. I have enjoyed working with the first and second graders for about the past 20 years, and I thank Betty Yee for being the lead on that. And as Lori said, the kids are, they're so pure in heart. And they, at this age, in the first and second grade, they understand about love. And I attribute that a lot to you, of those of you who are parents who have taught your children how to love and what love is. And because of that, they understand love, and they know that when we say that Jesus loves them, they understand that. They get it. It's inspiring when the first and second graders, they share their thoughts and what's going on in their lives. Some of them, maybe parents may not want to hear what they've shared, as Lori has alluded. But even more rewarding is to see them mature. And I can look over here on the right side, and I can see a lot of you that have grown up, and you're doing service for the Lord. And that's a real inspiration to me. So in that, as Pastor Steve said, you know, our children are our investment in the kingdom of the Lord. So I'd like to close with a verse from Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Thank you.
What a blessing it is just to hear how God has not only touched so many lives through service, through being served, but through serving. And the reason why I didn't want to finish that story is because it was about Caleb. So now that he's gone, I can share this story, okay? So I was talking, my wife and I were talking with this teacher, and she asked all the students this question. Remember, these are second graders. She asked them, if you could ask for one thing and get it, and know that you're going to get it right now, what would you ask for? What would you ask for? And of course, you guys could probably guess some of the answers that were voiced. Money, thousands of dollars, toys, super abilities, no more school, okay? But there's this one boy's answer that she shared with us that just left Debbie and I speechless. And it wasn't Caleb's answer. Okay. It wasn't Caleb's answer. Okay. It's not my son who said this. So when this one boy was asked the question, what is that one thing that you would ask for? And I tell you the truth, his teacher shared with us, the boy said, Mrs. Cass is their teacher. Mrs. Cass, I would want to see Jesus. If I could just meet Jesus, that is all I want. That is all I want. We were speechless. Children, right? When we think about children, they are definitely a blessing from God. And to children, we have this great responsibility. Whether you are a parent or not, as a church, as adults, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a responsibility to children. A responsibility to care for them in every way. And not only do children present to us a great responsibility, but Jesus says in this passage that we're going to read through, Jesus says that we have a lot to learn from them. But please don't tell my kids that. When you look at our world today, I think you can easily notice two extremes. Two extremes about in regards to how we treat children. Even just looking here in the United States, we see this one extreme over here where there's over 1 million preborn children that are killed every year. Tragedy. Horrific. There's children living in poverty, children being neglected and abused. Then on this other extreme, we can see children turned into idols to be pampered and coddled, placed at the center of the universe that they gladly occupy. But in the midst of these extremes about how we view children and how we treat them, how we care for them, how should we view children? How should we view children? We must view children as God sees them. We must view children as God sees them, dear church. They are gifts from God. And through them, God provides us with an illustration of how we enter the kingdom of God. And I want to point you to our passage this morning. And I'm going to read it to you. It's in your outline, if you like to follow an outline. It's in your bulletin there. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Just three verses. Four verses. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Says this, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them from the kingdom of God. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Dear church, dear brothers and sisters, my encouragement to each one of us today, in light of this passage, is this. Jesus loves all children. And not only does he love all children, but he lovingly calls all people to be like them. If we are to enter his kingdom. Jesus loves all children and he lovingly calls all of us, each one of us, to be like them if we are to enter his kingdom. And so how has God called us to care for children? Well, when you look at this passage, you look at verses 13 and 14, you'll see our first point here. If you go to that slide, we must bring children to Jesus. We must bring children to Jesus. Jesus here in Mark, in the beginning of the chapter, he teaches about marriage. And in these verses that we're looking at, verses 13 through 16, he's talking about children. We must bring children to Jesus. You know, I was just My other son, Braden, he plays baseball. This is his first year playing baseball. And I was watching his practice one evening, baseball practice. And, of course, there was a group of the kids on the field practicing some skills. And there was another group of a few kids that had nothing to do at the moment. There is this one child. The group that was doing nothing, they were actually doing nothing. They were goofing off. They were playing, having a good time. When they should have been kind of paying attention and watching and waiting for their turn to go and to practice those skills. Well, one child was using his baseball cap and is playing catch with another teammate, not paying attention when they were supposed to be paying attention. And I'm just watching, I'm observing. They're just being kids, they're just playing around, they're bored because they're not on the field at the moment. But this child's grandfather asked him to stop playing with his hat and to pay attention. The grandfather told him, stop throwing your hat. And so I'm watching. I'm saying, all right, good job, Grandpa. Thanks for, disciplining this child, encouraging them to pay attention. And so as I'm watching, this child proceeds to, he stops throwing. He listens. He stops throwing his hat. He proceeds to start kicking his hat to his friend. In amazement, I'm watching this. Did you really just do that? Grandfather, stop kicking your hat. Stop playing with your hat. Grandfather comes, takes the hat. Child proceeds to grab someone else's hat and starts playing with it once again. Right? He didn't say, don't play with hats. He says, stop playing with your hat. My eyes just keep getting bigger and bigger. I'm thinking, oh, I'm a father. Do I need to step in here and do something, say something? This child is totally disrespecting his grandfather. But it just reminded me. Children are broken and sinful. We're all, just as all of us are when we're brought into this world. We're sinful. Children need Jesus. Children need Jesus, and we must bring them to Jesus. How do we do this? In verse 13, the encouragement we get is we're to love them to Jesus. You look at what the text says. It says they were bringing them to Jesus. Who are they? Who was bringing these children to Jesus? Well, we don't know exactly. Maybe it was their parents. Maybe it was people that were caring for them, the people that loved them and were responsible for them. And what were they doing? They were bringing their children to Jesus. They were loving their children and loving them, caring for them, realizing what they need and what's best for them. Loving them to Jesus. Dear church, we need to love our children to Jesus. You see, and while this is happening, I can just try to picture this in my head. Parents, families, they're all wanting, clamoring to see Jesus, bringing their children, wanting their children to be blessed by Jesus. And yet, we see the disciples. Right? These mature followers of Jesus. And what is their response to what's going on? They start to rebuke. They start to get upset and to rebuke and call out these families, these loved ones, and these children that are going to Jesus. Why? Because they thought it was a waste of time for these children to be brought to Jesus. Jesus is so important. Jesus has such little time. He should not have to concern himself with these little ones that know nothing. They rebuked them. The disciples rebuked them. You see, there's an observation here and a truth at the same time. These loving parents, loved ones, are bringing their children to Jesus. That's the observation, right? But there's a powerful truth here. As well, in that same statement, loving parents bring their children to Jesus. Loving parents bring their children to Jesus. Loving church families, church bodies bring their children to Jesus. You see, but the disciples, they wanted to restrict the children's access to Jesus. And I want us to think about, dear church, how is it that we as a church and you individually care for children? I'm not talking about just parents, but you as a follower of Jesus Christ. How do you care for children? As we are to care for them in every way. And I ask you, dear church, are we prioritizing the greatest, most famous one, our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ? Dear parents, dear families, I ask you, how is it that you communicate Jesus as a priority daily to your children? How is it that you communicate Jesus as priority daily in your life and in your witness? You see, not only must we love our children to Jesus, but we must lead them to Jesus. Look at verse 14. You know, and that brings us to our second point. Well, we need to lead them to Jesus. When you look at verse 14, Jesus sees the disciples getting upset. He sees them. He's there. They are rebuking these loved ones that are bringing the children to Him. What did Jesus do? He got angry. Okay, it says Jesus became what? Indignant? Jesus got angry at how the disciples were mistreating the children. You see, dear brothers and sisters, sometimes leading children to Jesus will require us to take the lead in standing up for them. Sometimes leading children to Jesus will require us to take the lead in standing up for them. You know, I shared with you those extremes of how we treat children. On one hand, children being killed, children suffering. On the other hand, children being made as idols and being raised as if the universe revolves around them and their happiness and their earthly success. You see, and for me as a parent, it's easy for me to think about what plans I have for our children's academic success, their career success, their earthly success. But I'm constantly reminded and thinking about also of the spiritual plans that I have for my children. What about you, dear parents? Dear grandparents, dear uncles and aunties, what spiritual plans and hopes and dreams do you have for your children, your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren? And what are you doing about those? How are you living out those priorities? How are you living Jesus as priority in how you love your children and how we love our children? You see, church, we must teach our children God's Word. We must live out God's Word in our own lives, and we must lead them to Jesus. See the second point here. We must also learn. You see, that first part speaks of our responsibility towards children. And this second point here talks about how we can learn from children about the kingdom of God. You know, when you look at this passage or when you think about children, what is it about children that is essential for our entrance into the kingdom of God? What is it about children that is essential for us and essential for our entrance into the kingdom of God? Is it their innocence? Is it their purity? Some of us might think so, but let me remind you what the Bible says. All fall short. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. None of us are righteous. None of us are perfect. All of us have sinned. That includes children. It's not their innocence. It's not their purity that Jesus is pointing us to. But what is it? Well, here it is. You see, what must we learn about entering the kingdom of God from children? Well, we must come helpless and humble. We must come helpless and humble, recognizing that on our own we can do nothing, that there is no way we could ever earn our salvation. There's no way we could be good enough. There's no way we could do enough good things to earn salvation, right? We come to God helpless. We come to God humble. We recognize who we are apart from Jesus. We recognize our need for Him as our Savior and our Lord. And this is how we come, with this attitude, with this perspective. And this is every day, brothers and sisters. Helpless, yet with hope, with expectation. You see, you think about children and, you know, they're always playing around, getting into things. You see, I can just, again, picture what's going on here. Their parents bringing them to Jesus with their dirty hands after playing in the dirt. And yet, what do I think about when they're coming? And I think about their hands, they also come with empty hands. Because it's empty hands that can be filled, right? Do we come to Jesus recognizing our need, recognizing our sin, coming to Jesus with empty hands, with hope, with expectancy, ready to receive Him? What can we learn from children about entering the kingdom of God? We must come trusting and dependent. We must understand, not only understand, but believe who He is. Who God is, our perfect Heavenly Father that loves us perfectly, that gave us the perfect example of love through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died on the cross and rose from the dead for the forgiveness of our sin, so that our relationship with God, our Creator, our Father, our Heavenly Father, could be made right again. We come trusting who God is, what Jesus has done, and we understand that we need Him. We need His grace, we need His mercy, we need His presence. Without Jesus, we are hopeless. Jesus says His kingdom is not earned. It's received. It's received like a little child, or it's not received at all. You know, I think of newborn babies. Totally dependent on their parents. That's how it should be with us and God. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual growth. Yes, we all, that's God's will for us to mature and to grow. But I'm talking about the type of faith that we have, the type of perspective that we have about God and our need for Him and who we are. Lastly, what can we learn about entering the kingdom of God from children? We come for affection and for blessing. You look at this passage here. How does Jesus treat these children? I remind you, dear church, this is not just some casual interaction. This is not just a random happening. But Jesus intentionally loves these children. What does He do? He takes the time, right? He gives them His attention. He gives them His time. What also does He do? What does Jesus do to these children? He picks them up. He lays His hands on them. In a good way. He's laying His hands on them, blessing them. Blessing them. And this was huge. This was a huge example to everyone that was there looking at what was going on. This was an example of how Jesus valued these children. That He would take the time. That He would pick them up. That He would bless them. To show that they were people of great value. It was an acknowledgement of the future that they have in Jesus Christ. And it kind of represents an act of commitment. That He would care for them and be with them. You see, we have so much, brothers and sisters, to learn from children. And so I encourage you. You know, I think back, right? I think back to that story I told you at the very beginning. Oh, what that one boy, how that one boy answered that question. If I could only see Jesus, right? What is that one thing that you want? And it made me think. It still makes me think. It makes me think daily as I remember it. It makes me think to myself, do I want Jesus? Am I loving and leading my children to want Jesus? And do I come to Jesus like a child? Do I come to Him in desperate need? Do I come to Him with hope and expectation? Do I come to Jesus daily with empty hands? Because, dear church, Jesus loves His little children. And Jesus loves you. Please pray with me. God, thank You so much for Your amazing love. Thank You for Your amazing grace that You pour out so richly upon each one of us. Thank You that You made a way for us for our relationship to be made right with You. You made a way for us to be forgiven of all of our sin. You give us hope and a future through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that as we have read and studied this passage of how Jesus treated children, how He loved them and cared for them, I pray, God, that You would help us to take it to heart, that You would help us to realize our need to come to You like a child, that You would help us and remind us of our responsibility to love and to lead children to You. And God, I pray that You would remind us that it all starts by making a choice. It starts by us choosing to follow Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And I pray that if there is anyone here this morning, God, that You would lead them to confess in their heart and with their mouth, to confess Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. And that they can live anew and thrive. And God, I pray for this church. I pray that we would never forget our responsibility to the children that You bless our lives with. And that together as a church body, as a family, that we would continue to love them and lead them to You for Your glory, for Your kingdom. And God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear church, I want to invite you to rise, to stand up as we sing this song. If you have a decision that you've made, if you have a prayer request and you'd like me to pray for you, I want to invite you to come as we sing. And I would love to pray with you.